The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
The last time I was speaking with Dermot Gavin, we were talking about the Gardens of Versailles as demanded by the Sun King. And I got to see those myself some years ago. I'm not sure I'll ever get to see what Dermot is going to be talking about now as he joins me online. Dermot, good morning.
Good morning, Pat.
Have you ever been to these gardens in Japan?
I've been lucky enough to visit them twice. Mind you, once I had a two-year-old who loved playing with gravel, so that wasn't the best in front of very stern monks in this very simple but quite austere garden in Kyoto.
Tell me about it. I mean, when was it designed? Who designed it? And what's it like?
Well, the first two questions, funnily enough, I can't answer because nobody knows. So Zen gardens are really extraordinary. And on this series, talking about garden stories, we will be looking at all types of gardens because we're fairly well garden educated. But often we go out to our own plots, we're designing gardens, and people have a hint of style that they like. Sometimes that style can be oriental. Sometimes people want rock gardens or rock and gravel gardens, maybe with a beautiful bamboo or an oriental maple or something like that. So I'm going to chat for the next few minutes about really the genesis of this style of garden. And it's a Zen garden, more accurately probably known as Japanese rock gardens. They're really serene retreats from the noise and chaos of everyday life. And they're incredibly simple. They're very elegant, and they have their roots in the Zen Buddhist principles of simplicity and emphasis on the natural world. So what these gardens will often have is just rocks and gravel, and maybe a wall surrounding them, so maybe they're centered in a courtyard. And the idea is that you go in, often they'll be attached or associated with a monastery, a Buddhist monastery, and there'll be a wooden platform. And the idea is you sit cross-legged on that platform and you just contemplate what's in front of you. But this particular garden at Roanji, which is about 5.5 hours west of Tokyo, is really the epitome of this style of gardens. Probably built in the 1480s, as I say, attached to this monastery and as part of a much greater kind of landscape. But the mystery behind it is that nobody knows who built it. Nobody knows what inspired the design, although there are lots of different theories around that. But what really captivated me, and the reason I wanted to see it in the first place, is that since it was built in 1480, pretty much every day, hundreds and thousands and tens of thousands and probably millions of people in that time have gone to see this garden of simplicity, gone to see this garden of emptiness, and they've absolutely been captivated by it. Now, so what is it?
Yeah, how big is it, for example?
It's not very big, a couple of courtyards, so maybe 15, 20 metres by 15 metres, so not big at all. It's enclosed. It wasn't always enclosed, but maybe 300 years ago there was a fire, and the garden has been recreated a few times. And at that stage, it was enclosed by a wood wall, which was baked in the sun, a wood and oil wall. So olive oil has baked in that mud over the years, and a patina that people also meditate on has developed. So it's not very big, and all it is a rectangle of gravel. And there are 15 stones set in that gravel, not very large boulders. From any one space, you can only see 14 of the stones. So people come, and every day a monk will go out, he'll rake the gravel, he'll take any leaves that have blown in from, or petals from the cherry tree in spring, which overhangs it, or in the autumn, the falling leaves of the Japanese maple. He'll take them away, he'll rake the gravel, he'll rake circles around the individual stones and then straight lines. And after that, it's just from dawn to dusk, people come and meditate. And it's people might stay for 3 or 4 hours, or people might visit for 15 minutes. It's open every day of the year and has been for hundreds and hundreds of years.
Now, German, so if I was to get a drone and fly it up directly overhead and therefore be able to observe the pattern of the rocks on this gravel landscape, is there any discernible pattern or message?
Oh, there are, and people have different theories about what those patterns mean. So, and what the message is, because again, that's never been sent down to us. So it could be a mother cub bringing her cubs. It could represent a mother cub bringing the cubs across the water. It could represent a constellation of stars from the sky. It could be something as simple as reflecting light back into the abbot's home, into his living quarters. So there's all sorts of theories, and people have great fun and great studies are done trying to interpret this this setup or this scene. These, as I say, are 14 stones, or 15 stones, and you can only ever see 14, except if you're over 6 foot tall and from one spot. They discovered about 100 years ago, as people in the Orient began to grow taller, you can see all 15. But it's an extraordinary layout and of emptiness. And the idea behind it is to try and get us to clear our minds and to appreciate the stillness and simplicity and beauty of nature. If anybody wants to see it, on Instagram stories, I've put videos of the monks as they go out raking very slowly that gravel at 6 a.m. in the morning. And as they're doing that, they try to clear their mind. So it's a kind of antidote to the way we live now.
Now, what I was going to ask you, Dermot, I mean, we can be very zen about all of this and very spiritual, or we can be practical and say this is a very low maintenance garden, is it not?
If you're going to keep it the way they keep it, it's very high in terms of maintenance. But you're quite right, Pat, because I'm up in a holiday cottage in Downings in County Donegal. Outside one window, I see the mountains and the sea and the beaches. And that is probably what it's representing. And outside the other window, I see gravel and a granite boulder with moss on it. So I have all the materials there to create one of these gardens. But I can't begin to imagine what was behind it. So whatever I would create, or whatever we would create when we're kind of mimicking these gardens, would be pastiche. So it is one of these situations where the magic of travel, sitting there and appreciating it, trying to understand, you know, what inspired the people and why does this place, when we're in this period of acquisition, of going to the garden centre, of trying to buy every named variety of a particular plant or ornamentation to say something or to show off, why does a place of emptiness really captivate us so much?
German, thank you very much for joining us. You don't have to go to Japan, you can go to Donegal. Almost the same effect. Anyway, thanks to German for that, and we'll be talking to German. He'll be answering your gardening questions in coming weeks and also revisiting some other gardens of his choice.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on News Talk.